Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of taking care of your health to take care of God's business. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of taking care of your health to take care of God's business.
Pastor of Bethany Baptist Church, and also the pastor radio preacher here for the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We are excited to have you join us this evening. We have Dr. Jerome Gloster, who is the CEO of Primary Healthcare Services here in Pittsburgh. He is a medical doctor and a member of Bethany Baptist Church. He has been with us for over 20 years, and we certainly thank God for his membership at Bethany Baptist Church. Dr. Gloster, welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you, Pastor. Glad to be here.
Amen. We're going to talk about a subject that's near and dear to the hearts of many people. And actually, the topic that we're going to center our thoughts around is taking care of your health so that you can take care of God's business. So I'm going to kind of talk about it from the biblical perspective, and we're going to let you talk about it from the medical perspective. Okay. But as I look at 3 John, in 3 John, we see John writing, and he is exhorting a man by the name of Gaius, and he is identifying the fact that Gaius has been financially prosperous and also his physical prosperity. And he says that, you know, I pray that you would be in good health. And one of the reasons that John prays for him to be in good health, if we go back and unpack that passage, is because Gaius actually had a powerful ministry to missionaries. In verses 5 and 6, it talks about how he had ministered to people who were serving God. And as we think about how God wants to use us and how God wants to just allow us to be a blessing to others, if we don't have the health that we need. Now, I will say this, Dr. Gloster, that sometimes God is glorified in sickness. You know, when we look at, you know, the fact that people have been testimonies to others, you know, as they have dealt with sickness. But for the most part, I think it's safe to say that God does want us to be in good health, and that God wants us to, you know, to be ready to do his work. And so, you know, he prays that that Gaius would be in good health. So as we talk about the idea of being in good health, you know, my mind goes back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, where, you know, Paul told Timothy that bodily exercise profiteth a little.
That's right.
Now, you know, God doesn't necessarily want us to run marathons, and he doesn't want us to be world-class weightlifting champions. But in this idea of exercise, you know, Paul does say that it profits a little. He didn't say that it has no profit at all. He said that it profits a little. So as we talk about taking care of your health to take care of God's business, you know, what would be some of the thoughts that you would have about exercise?
Well, I think that what I would want everyone to realize is that I believe it's part of God's plan. Even in this passage that you mentioned, we're looking at exercise, but I think physical activity has been always a part of God's plan from the beginning of time. When we look back at Genesis, where, again, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, even before the fall, we know that, you know, work and by the sweat of his brow and you know, to eat, that was part of the curse. But even prior to that, God put them in a garden, and he gave them a job to do. He had them physically active in that garden to cultivate the garden and to work in the garden. So I believe God has had this as part of his plan from the beginning for our health. And we know that, you know, from a medical perspective, that physical activity not only strengthens your body, not only can make you less likely to have high blood pressure and a lot of other illnesses, diabetes and what have you, but also that it decreases stress levels and causes you to release cortisol, which will decrease stress levels and endorphins, if you will, that will decrease stress levels. And so that's going to even further lead to lower incidence of heart disease, all kinds of issues with your health that we know stress can contribute to, even going all the way to cancer and things like that. So that there's no question in my mind that God has always intended for us to be physically active, and that it would affect both our physical health and our mental health as well. And we, what we've done in this country is done the total opposite. We've decided to become more civilized and more technologically advanced, so we don't have to physically exert ourselves. Right. Yeah. And instead of spending, you know, 10, 12 hours a day getting a reasonable amount of physical exertion, which is going to keep us healthy back in the day, we now sit for 12, 16 hours a day and increase our stress levels and focus on things that often are unhealthy. We're not focusing on spiritual things for most of that time. And we just load our bodies up with stress and an unhealthy condition, leading to the diabetes, the hypertension, the high blood pressure with hypertension again, and mental illnesses as well that can lead to back to the stress, leading to cancer as well. Just all these things piling up on us that's totally unhealthy.
All right. Now, so just kind of a follow-up question to that. When you talk about exercise, what would you recommend as far as, you know, how many times a week and how long it should be, and maybe even what type of exercise that individual should consider?
Well, I think that where you can always start, that is, if you're able to, is walking. And I've always found it to be a amazing thing that if you can walk and get out and walk for at least a half an hour, and I know that the sort of guidelines say, well, at least if you're doing it five times a week, but I think you want to look at all of these things as not being some sort of exercise regimen, but being a lifestyle.
Right.
Activity or lifestyle change. So I would recommend the goal being every day that you would walk for at least a half an hour. The thing that I find tremendous about this is that not only are you releasing those endorphins and decreasing your stress, but when I spend a good amount of time walking, I think intently, then we'll begin to focus on God. And especially if I'm able to get outside, I'll look up in the sky and I'll just sometimes say, wow, Lord, those clouds are beautiful. And I'll start and feel like then I'll hear God start speaking to me. And it's just a tremendous time that half hour can be where I'm getting physical exercise and I'm spending time with God.
Amen.
So, I think walking is a great place to start. There can be other activities within the home, like whether it's if you're able to, if you have steps. We know that steps add an increased level of physical exertion, but those who are trying to achieve some strength as well in their limbs, that can be helpful. A lot of professionals will give you other exercise, whether it's certain calisthenics or things like that. Walking in place, I tell people, if you can't get outside. I have a friend of mine that's a bodybuilder, and at one point he couldn't get to the gym and didn't have access to a lot of things, and he told me for months what he would do is go down in his basement. He did have weights, but what he would do is he would walk in place for at least a half an hour every day to an hour. And and I tell my patients, if you walk in place and you lift your knees up, you'd be surprised how much exercise you can get.
Right.
Another technique I've taught people to do is, they're finding themselves sedentary, they don't do anything, and then you don't just jump out there and try to, as you say, run a marathon or trying to get in shape right away. You can cause injury, and then you're down for the count, and then you don't want to get back up. I tell them, try something. Those of you who are individuals that do watch a lot of TV, and we tried it, you know, and pediatrics would ever tell people don't watch so much TV. Well, it doesn't work just to tell somebody don't do that. They're so used to that regimen or that activity, they get enjoyment out of it. I tell them, all right, do this, because I know you're going to watch your TV. While you're watching TV, I said, whenever the commercial comes on, play a game with yourself. Get up and do something. And whether that's the easiest thing, walking in place, but you lift your knees up, try to get them up as close to your waist as possible. And you have to continue to exert yourself until all the commercials are off, right, and your show comes back on. And play that game with yourself while you're watching TV. Oh, there's another commercial. Right. I got to get back up. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do some jumping jacks. You'd be surprised how much exercise you can get, how much better you begin to feel. And I started even doing that back when I was in high school. I wasn't out of shape, but I was trying to get in better shape, and I'd tell myself every time a commercial came on, I would do push-ups, and got to the point where I could do 70 push-ups in a row. But it's things like that, looking for opportunities, right, to exercise, as opposed to, you know, we become a nation of people that look for opportunities not to exert ourselves, right, try to do little as possible.
Yeah, but you know, that's a good alternative than going to the refrigerator.
Exactly. Yeah, commercials on, let me go get something else, right, to eat, something unhealthy to eat. You're right. Yeah. That's what we do.
Amen. I'm here with Dr. Jerome Gloster. He's a medical doctor, also the CEO of Primary Healthcare Services in Pittsburgh, Primary Care Health Services,
yes,
in,
right,
Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And we are excited to have him here. Dr. Gloster, you know, a passage of scripture that has always just impressed my heart about this idea of nutrition is when we go back to Daniel chapter 1, and we see that Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they were forced to partake in the king's diet, but they refused. And they asked the eunuch, who was the one that was trying to force them to eat the king's meat, if they could just eat, and I'm just going to put it in this term, if they could eat a healthy diet. Mm-hmm. And we see that they didn't eat the king's meat, which was, you know, probably not as healthy as what they were going to eat. And so they ate their, you know, nutritious diet. And after 21 days, that they were better than the ones who ate the king's meat. So, mm-hmm, can you speak to us about the importance of proper nutrition as we, you know, talk about taking care of your health to take care of God's business?
Oh, absolutely. I love the way God's word shows us so many of these things, that those who don't believe him keep finding out the truths in them, like scientists and physicians. But yes, we see in scripture, as you're pointing out, where a diet that's high in vegetables and additionally fruits and things like that, that they lead to a much more healthy body. We keep discovering all these incredible benefits in some of these superfoods, which are almost always plant-based, or vegetables, if you will, and seeing how they decrease inflammation, decrease the likelihood of cancer, things like broccoli and kale and a lot of other foods that are plant-based. And so when I had read that scripture as well, I said, see, here's God showing us this from scripture for thousands of years. Also, the scripture, and I keep reminding myself I need to look it up again to remember where it is, but where it says that the plant will be your medicine. So it's just blows me away how God reveals this to us. And as we see there, and as I'm saying, that not only is it going to lead to you having, we can break it down. Plant-based diet, fruits, vegetables, you tend to have much better digestion. You're not, you know, getting things backed up, and we know that those toxins and things like that can affect you. Mm. You know, more water, taking in much more water than most of us do instead of unhealthy sugary drinks and things like that. But those things are simple things, but it's amazing how much they affect our health in a positive way and how much better we feel. We have much better, often a lot of us find that we think more clearly with that healthy diet as opposed to filling ourselves with processed foods and a lot of you know, unhealthy meats and things like that, like we see in the scripture.
Amen. We're here with Dr. Jerome Gloster, medical doctor, CEO of Primary Care Health Services here in Pittsburgh, and we certainly appreciate him taking the time to join us. Dr. Gloster, as we kind of wrap things up, I always think about that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, where Paul tells believers that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As we close the program, do you have any thoughts on that, you know, as far as our bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit?
Well, I think all of this relates together with what God would intend for us and how would he intend for us to treat our bodies. He's given us this wonderful, as I became interested in medicine and watched this show as a child called The Incredible Machine, this incredible machine with computers and all kinds of just incredible technology when man tries to understand it as far as your nerves firing off electrical impulses to move limbs and just amazing, awesome God designed this body. And yes, as you've stated, that he also says that now treat it as a temple, because it's the temple where I will abide in you, you know, and that we see in scripture that it's called the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I believe that this just goes with everything we've been talking about, that God would intend for us to really take care of our body. I mean, the other scripture that I think about where he says, you know, no man ever hated his own body.
Right,
it's like,
right.
You know, unless there's something wrong, you're not going to mistreat your body, but to the contrary, that you're going to love your body. You're going to, you know, treat it right. But I think that we've gotten into a mentality and a system of where we've got things twisted, and that, you know, may be part of whether it's sin or the enemy or just we ourselves left to ourselves, where we consider treating our body right, mistreating it and loading it up with too much food and not exercising and sitting around. But no question that all of this, I believe, helps to contribute to a healthy spiritual life, that as you're taking care of your body and you are decreasing those stress levels with activity and things like that, there's no question that I feel as though you begin to have a greater affinity, if you will, for hearing the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you're not, if you will, distracted by these ailments and these illnesses and the stress and the things that you're you know, constantly concentrating on. And as I said, that if you can relate that physical activity as well to a time with God, to try to spend some time with him, that there's no question that then we can have temple time, if you will, with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, certainly we want to thank you for joining us on the program. And we are having a Facebook Live event, which the announcer will give you a little more details as we close out the program today.
Right.
So it's been a blessing to have you with
us. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. God bless you, radio friends.
The Apostle John wrote to Gaius saying, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health." That comes from the third book of John, chapter 2. Good health is something most people want to experience. One way to be on the road to good health is to take care of your body. Join Dr. William R. Glaze and Dr. Jerome Gloster, a medical physician, as they discuss the topic, taking care of your health to take care of God's business, on Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live tonight at 7:30 p.m. Looking forward to seeing you there. Now let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of taking care of your health to take care of God's business.
Because you are one who meets the needs of those who come your way. As we move on, I got to wind this thing down here. A couple of things that I wanted to point out, especially as we look at some things in relationship to our community. If you'll put that the next one up, and that is, okay, African Americans and cancer. And I know that everybody here is not African American, but pray for African Americans because we got some serious health issues in our community. Cancer is the second leading cause of death in the United States, causing more than 500 deaths each year. All right, and where I got these from listed up here. All right, the next one. African Americans and cancer. Although deaths caused by breast cancer have decreased among white women, African American women continue to have a higher rate of mortality from breast and cervical cancer. All right? African Americans and cancer. Men in African American populations also have more cancers of the lung, prostate, colon, and rectum than do white men. All right, next one. Okay, diabetes. African Americans are 2 times more likely to have type 2 diabetes as whites of similar age. All right, African Americans have higher rates of diabetes-related complications such as kidney disease and amputations. All right, cardiovascular disease. Primarily heart disease and stroke causes more death in Americans of both genders and all races and ethnic groups than any other disease. All right, African Americans. Overall, minority and low-income populations have a disproportionate burden of death and disability from cardiovascular disease. African Americans have the highest rate of high blood pressure of all groups and tend to develop it younger than any others. African Americans and HIV. According to the 2000 census, African Americans made up 13% of the population. However, in 2005, they accounted for 49% of the new HIV and AIDS diagnosed in the United States and states that have reported. And then there's a graph just depicting that, the next one, to show you the how serious this thing is. Why am I saying all that? Because there's some serious health issues in our community. And we need you around. We need you to have health so that you can serve God. We're trying to build a kingdom here at Bethany Baptist Church. And we can't build it, you know, if you're not here. And so what I'm telling you today and what I'm encouraging you today, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. The theology of the care of the body. And I'm going to go through this real quick. Believers should take care of their bodies because you were created by God. You are a special creation of God. And I have all the scriptures there. So even we're not going to read them, but they're right there for you to read. Okay, you were created by God. Believers should take care of their health because your bodies are the temple of God. Paul said, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the living God? And God don't want to live in any junk. God wants you to take the best care of your body that you can. Number three, believers should take care of their health because of the physical condition of the body affects the spiritual condition of the soul. All right, and I was sharing with the deaconesses the other night. You know, I don't like to eat before I preach. And one of the reasons I don't like to eat, because it seems like I get kind of slow and lethargic. And that shows me that my body affects my spirit. And so if we're not taking care of our health, guess what? Our bodies are going to be affected by that also. James talked about that in James chapter 5. Believers should take care of their health because proper nutrition leads to healthier bodies. Remember Daniel? They did that experiment. One group ate the king's food, the king's meat, and the other ones ate, you know, God's diet. And at the end of 14 days, who was more healthier? The ones that ate God's diet. All right? And then finally, believers should take care of their health because bodily exercise profits a little. It don't profit a whole lot in light of eternity, but Paul told Timothy it does profit a little bit. And you know what? God is concerned about the health of his people. God is concerned about the health of his people. He gave dietary laws to the Israelites. He gave a specific way for them to eat. He gave laws as far as cleansing and hygiene. A whole chapter on cleansing and hygiene. He gave the Israelite laws for disposing human excrement, and he gave them laws for maintaining sexual purity. Why did he do that? Because he was concerned about their health. Don't sit here today and think that God is not concerned about your health, because he is. And this is a spiritual thing. And so we need to take care of these temples that God has given us. Oh, somebody caught me red-handed yesterday at my favorite restaurant. Somebody caught me red-handed yesterday. But you know what? I went out yesterday afternoon and tried to make amends for it. But you know, we need to take care of these bodies that God has given us. And the reason that we're having this time together today is to motivate you and maybe give you some instruction on how to do that. And after we give our invitation, we're going to have Reverend Sherry Brooks come, and she's going to share with us some information how we can take care.
The Apostle John wrote to Gaius, saying, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health." That comes from the third book of John, chapter 2. Good health is something most people want to experience. One way to be on the road to good health is to take care of your body. Join Dr. William R. Glaze and Dr. Jerome Gloucester, a medical physician, as they discuss the topic, taking care of your health to take care of God's business, on Anchored in Jesus Facebook Live tonight at 7:30 p.m. Looking forward to seeing you there.